Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is titled, The Devil and the Bible. Satan is a master at temptation. He is good at it. He brought all his temptation skills, quote unquote, to bear in seeking to get Christ to sin. And yet Jesus came through unscathed. How did he do that? Note the following. Matthew 4:5. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple. Luke switches the order of the second and third temptations, evidently for thematic purposes, but the content is the same. The chronological order is represented here in Matthew. The word then here in Matthew at each juncture indicates sequence. Also, the Lord's command to the devil, "Away with you, Satan," at the end of the third temptation, argues that Matthew followed the actual historical order. The holy city, of course, is Jerusalem, and the word pinnacle means wing or pointed extremity, referring to a high point on the temple complex. The word for temple, Greek hierion, is the general word, not just referring to the sanctuary, but rather to the entire temple complex. Many commentators think this was probably a place located on the east wall of the temple, where there was a sheer drop of about 500 feet into the Kidron Valley below. However, it may have been a high point situated where he could make a grand flying entrance into the public temple courtyard, so all could see it in grand fashion. Rabbinic tradition held that the Messiah, in coming to Israel's deliverance, would make a grand appearance from the temple roof. They got this based on a certain understanding of Malachi 3:1, which reads, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Matthew 4:6 continues, "And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Satan's angle was to try and get Christ to use his personhood as the Son of God in a self-serving sort of way. Again, it should be understood in the sense of, since you are the Son of God. And since Christ appealed to Scripture in refuting his first temptation, Satan also quotes Scripture as well. Satan knows the Bible quite well. And so to buttress his challenge, Satan quoted from Psalm 91:1-2. Only problem is, he misquoted the text. He left out one very important part. Psalm 91:11-12. "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." The devil conveniently left out that God's promise for protection applies to the Messiah walking in all God's ways. As it was, the devil twisted the word to make it a matter of tempting God instead of properly trusting God, as stated. The devil made it a matter of sinful tempting God. Evidently, Satan was tempting Jesus to prove that he was the Messiah in a most sensational way. On his own independent terms. It would gain him immediate acclaim. But again, this would be to act independent of the Father and contrary to his servant role. Temptation here was to self-glory. Note the parallels here. Genesis 3:6, desirable to make one wise. Matthew 4:6, throw yourself down. 1 John 2:16, the pride of life. This is all a package. Matthew 4:7, Jesus said to him, "It is written," again, "you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Once again, in refuting the devil, Jesus quoted Scripture. This time he used Scripture to correct Satan's misuse of Scripture, quoting this time from Deuteronomy 6:16, which reads, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massa." Jesus saw what Satan was tempting him to do, in effect, was to sinfully tempt God. Throwing himself off the temple would not be an exercise in trusting God, but rather in tempting God. To tempt God is to put him to the test. It is the exact opposite of submissively trusting him. To tempt God is to challenge him to act. It is to try and force him to act. It's an attempt to try and manipulate God. In effect, it puts the person in the role of playing God while God is in the position of being subservient. That never works. God insists on being God. In Deuteronomy 6:16, Moses was referring back to the incident at Massah where they lacked water and complained against Moses. We read in Exodus 17:7, so he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah. Because of the contention of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" To try and force the Lord to act on your terms is to tempt the Lord. God cannot be forced or coerced. To try and do so is an assault on his lordship. It is sinfully presumptuous as it fails to yield to God and trust him to act according to his faithfulness. Many charismatic teachers really fit into this mold. We can reverently ask, but we cannot demand. It is sin to name it and claim it on your own terms. We pray in Jesus' name, which is to say according to his will. We're not in charge of, and God is our servant. No, we're not in charge of God being our servant. Who are we to test him? He is God and we are his servants. Keep the order straight. Jesus, in his state of humility, did just that. A footnote here. When Jesus said, "It is written," again, this shows that sound doctrine is properly understood in light of the totality of Scripture. If you take Scripture in isolation, out of context, you can make the Bible say almost anything. We must always consider the whole counsel of God and not take things out of context. Scripture always agrees with the whole of Scripture when properly understood. A text without a context is a pretext. The word properly applied is our greatest defense against the onslaughts of the devil. Paul in Ephesians 6:16, in the context of spiritual warfare, exhorts us to take up the shield of faith by which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Jesus did this masterfully. Satan is the master of temptation. Jesus proved to be the master of the word, and by it he mastered the devil. The devil is defeated by the word. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.